Our next case is 13-1085, Board of Commissioners of Fairfield County versus Scott Nally, Director of the Environmental Protection Agency. For the appellant, we have Mr. Hoy. You may proceed.
Good morning. Chief Justice O'Connor, fellow justices, my name is Steve Hoy. May it please the court, I'm here on behalf of the Fairfield County Board of Commissioners, the appellant in this case. I would like to reserve 2 minutes of rebuttal at this time.
Could you speak up a little louder, please?
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. Your Honor, when Ohio EPA develops total maximum daily loads, or TMDLs, when it divides our watersheds around the state into these TMDLs and creates them, it establishes new sets of standards that did not previously exist. At least four, and in our case, five new sets of standards came out of the TMDL. In each TMDL, the agency looks at the streams, creates three separate caps, a cap on the assimilative capacity for the stream that didn't exist before, a margin of safety that didn't exist before, and a reserve for growth. None of those standards existed before. It then takes the remaining capacity and allocates it among classes of individuals in that basin, point sources, non-point sources. And then last, in our case, the TMDL established new numeric phosphorus water quality standards that had never gone through rulemaking.
New water standards that
new
never...
numeric phosphorus water quality standards for every stream in the basin that had never gone through rulemaking.
I'm having difficulty. Right. Maybe if you adjust your microphone and speak up.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Okay. Your
Counsel,
Honor, it doesn't...
With respect to those standards, is it your position that Ohio EPA is bound by those standards so that when it comes to issuing an NPDES permit, they have to impose them?
Yes, Your Honor. The agency's own TMDL rule, Ohio Administrative Code 3745-2-12, makes every TMDL allocation binding on the agency, not just for point source discharges, but also for its non-point source reduction programs.
Is that different from what the 10th District found?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Is that different from what the 10th District found?
Yes, Your Honor. Yeah, in one narrow manner it is. The 10th District said, wait a minute, they're not binding. At the top of the pyramid, you have the right to come in and ask that the allocation, one small subset of the standards, be redistributed amongst the point sources. But the rest of the standards are not reviewable at all. So with that exception. Your Honor, it doesn't matter. Your Honors, it doesn't matter how Ohio EPA classifies these, calls them recommendations, informational tools, planning documents, all of the vernacular you've seen in the briefs. They're rules. They're rules for at least five separate reasons. The first and most logical one is they meet the definition of a rule. They're new standards that expand the agency's authority. They're applied uniformly across our basins in the state of Ohio. They're binding on the agency, and the agency enforces them in the permits. That's what 119...
They've been enforced against Fairfield County?
Excuse me, Your Honor?
Have they been enforced against Fairfield County?
Yes, they were enforced when the standards were placed into Fairfield County's next renewal permit. Yes.
And was there a sanction?
No, there was not a sanction, Your Honor. What happened was Fairfield County appealed the permit.
What is the prejudice that the county has experienced as you stand there today?
Your Honor, the standards, in effect, never saw the light of day that rulemaking would provide. The phosphorus standards at issue in this appeal would cost the county
What is the standard today? What is the discharge amount?
There is no phosphorus. The amount in the permit is 0.5 milligrams per liter. Before that, there was no standard in the county's permit.
Okay.
That standard would cost the county over $5 million
to meet. But the 0.5 has not been enforced.
Your Honor, it was enforced when Ohio EPA issued a final permit, binding permit, to Fairfield County imposing the standard.
And what's the violation for exceeding the TMDL? What is the sanction?
If a TMDL is otherwise lawful and binding and can be placed in permits without rulemaking, if you don't comply with those standards, then it's any other conventional enforcement setting. The violations could subject you to penalties of up to $25,000 or $27,000 per day per
and
violation.
And has your county been subjected to that?
No.
Council, if we could maybe look at the facts a little bit. This is a water permit for your waste treatment plant, correct? We're talking about an NPDES permit, which talks about it's a point. You have a point source that's discharging into the Black Walnut.
The Big Walnut Creek
Big
watershed.
Big Walnut Creek. Okay. So the point is that now you've got the permit renewal. And the permit renewal for the first time is going to give you this phosphorus limit that you never had the opportunity to challenge this limit through the rulemaking process that the state has, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And the reason is that the department has said, well, the feds have given us this standard, and we are automatically going to accept what the feds have said and put it in the permit, and that's sufficient. We can do it in that way. Is that what they've said?
That is, in essence, what was held below.
Just to put it in context a little bit, what we're talking about here.
So are there any options for the Ohio EPA based on the federal guidelines, the federal imposition that Justice Lanziger referred to? Is there any wiggle room for the Ohio EPA to establish a rule that was less than the standard that the federal EPA has promulgated?
There are two responses to that, Your Honor. First, EPA's review is a procedural review just to make sure that all of the necessary components of a TMDL are there. By statute, it must occur in 30 days or less. This TMDL took Ohio EPA 5 years to develop. But that procedural approval, if Ohio EPA then goes through rulemaking and promulgates the TMDL and changes the standards, they'd have to go back to EPA and seek its approval again.
They'd have to go back to the federal EPA.
Yes, they would.
Okay, so EPA, the federal EPA hands down a standard and says to the Ohio EPA, here's what you have to implement in your rules and enforce within Ohio under these circumstances. And my understanding is the Ohio EPA then takes that information, puts it into their standards without an opportunity for those that are affected by this rule to weigh in.
Correct.
But
yes.
My question is what's the process once Ohio EPA would have those hearings, theoretically, if they did, and found that they wanted to challenge that imposition from Washington on Ohio? Could they get a variance from Washington to allow Ohio to have a different standard with regard to phosphorus? Or is this some kind of mandatory rule from Washington that Ohio would be penalized in some way if they didn't comply with?
Okay. What Ohio EPA did, Your Honor, was to take a package of rules, a package of standards.
Right.
Instead of going through the rulemaking process and then submitting them to EPA and say, hey, look what I've done. This meets all of your procedural checklist. Everything is here. Give me your stamp of approval. They didn't do that. They submitted what is, in effect, our proposed standards in a package to Chicago, got the procedural approval, and then turned around and said, gee, I'm sorry, I don't have to do rulemaking. And oh, by the way, if you do challenge that, you have a very limited review because EPA already passed its muster, its stamp of approval on those standards. And that's not what the Clean Water Act says.
Appealed to the Environmental Review Appeals Commission, didn't you? And didn't ERAC modify the limit?
No, they did not, Your Honor.
I thought ERAC determined that the phosphorus limit failed to comply with revised code 6111. to consider technical feasibility and reasonableness, and they vacated the limit and remanded it to the director for further review. Didn't that happen or not?
Yes, it did. Yes, what happened...
So you did a review of this, did you not?
No, Your Honor. That issue was whether Ohio EPA had to do what the statute 611103 requires, a cost-benefit analysis before imposing new heretofore unimposed standards in a permit. The ERAC ruled that that review had never occurred. That's a separate issue of whether unpromulgated standards that are rules and are being applied as rules still have to go through rulemaking. That issue, ERAC disagreed with Fairfield County that rulemaking
EPA
wasn't required.
You want the Ohio EPA to go through the Ohio Administrative Code and develop rules, and you can have some input on what they ought to be and what the limits should be. Is that what you're asking us to do?
Sure. Sure. I mean, think about it, Your Honor. This is what Ohio EPA did. It's like wanting your cake and to eat it, too. They're not rules, so I don't have to do rulemaking, and then I'm going to slip the package up to Chicago, and then when I get that stamp of approval, I'm not even going to give you your de novo review that's otherwise required under the revised code for all actions taken by Ohio EPA. Why? Because, well, EPA put its stamp of approval on it. So it's like wanting your cake and eat it too. And in effect, there's no meaningful review provided for anyone.
Using yes. your cake analogy,
yes.
the federal EPA has essentially baked the cake, hasn't it? And it's now up to Ohio to determine how it's going to be divided up among the point sources. I mean, there's something here about the total allocation, the pollution allocation for point sources and then non-point sources. How does the permitting process, I mean, when do you get your opportunity to argue that the standards applied to your point source are not appropriate?
Well, in Ohio EPA's view, the only opportunity you have is when the unpromulgated standards are applied to you in a permit, and then you have your right to appeal that permit, not in the context of a rulemaking challenge. So, and
but
the other thing
but
that
if you
I think
clarify
is
that, Counselor, yes, if you sure. clarify that point, though, when
yes.
you say that Ohio EPA says you can challenge them in a permit appeal, but in that permit appeal, are you able to challenge the TMDL itself? You're just challenging the standard that gets implemented, that gets put into the into the permit, correct?
That is, in effect, Your Honor, what the ruling was below. ERAC, and as affirmed by the Court of Appeals, the ruling was once you got there to ERAC, all you were allowed to do was to ask that the very top of the permit of the pyramid, the actual allocations between the point sources, not the caps, not the standards applied to the stream, none of that could be challenged.
So
that was the rulings below.
So you're left with an appeal as to the slice of the pollution pie that you get. Is that right?
Right. I see you've read our brief, Your Honor. Yes, that is correct. It's correct. It's like all you have left is, after all of this lengthy process and all these standards that end up in an allocation, you get to go up there and say, gee, I think my slice of the pie between me and the village of Jeffersontown should be redivvied. And even that was illusory, Your Honor, because both ERAC and the Court of Appeals held that's a purely discretionary act on the part of Ohio EPA. That means there's no review. So in effect, you have no review. Now, in Ohio EPA's process, its view of the world, environmental groups have no meaningful input. Citizens have no meaningful input. The only input occurs when people who receive permits challenge those permits. So you have to be a village or a business getting a permit to even have your day in court under the scenario that Ohio EPA or the process Ohio EPA followed. Yes, Your Honor.
If I understood it, the creek that we're talking about here was not violating the phosphorus limits to begin with. Is that correct? That there was no exceeding the 0.5 milligrams per liter, but that your discharge then was going to have to meet that. I'm sorry, you were exceeding the limit, the 0.5 milligrams per liter, but the quality of the water was still within the limits that it should be. And after the permit renewal, you were going to be subject to the more stringent 0.5, regardless of the fact that the water quality was good. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So how does that how do you challenge, if you were to challenge it and say, look, in our situation, we shouldn't have to meet the 0.5 milligrams per liter. What does Ohio then do when the feds have said, this is the water quality, this is the numerical limitation that you have to follow? What does Ohio do if it has given you relief for your point source? Does that mean it has to put that regulation on someone else? What happens?
Your Honor, my time is up. May I respond to your question? Thank you. There's a significant misnomer going on here. US EPA does not mandate that Ohio EPA do the allocations in any certain way. It's just a procedural review to see that all the elements are there. It's up to Ohio EPA to establish the standards. There's nothing in the Clean Water Act that preempts the rights of the affected parties to get their full day in court under the applicable state's laws. There's nothing. There's no preemption in the Clean Water Act. There's nothing. What the court below, what ERAC and the court below did by mistake was to look at a letter from Chicago that said, I agree with everything is here. Go forward and issue all your permits consistent with what is in here. They took that narrow, limited, vague statement and said, I'm sorry, we're bound by it. We can't do any, we can't do rulemaking. We can't make anything but minor adjustments. That was one of the major errors.
You're saying that the phosphorus standard was not required for Ohio?
No, I'm not. No, I wasn't, Your Honor. What Ohio has to do, what every state has to do, is to look at its streams, see which ones are impaired, identify the pollutants which are causing the impairments, and then develop a TMDL to address that impairment. And in this particular watershed, Ohio EPA said there were excess nutrients being discharged in the watershed. Then where we believe Ohio EPA went wrong was to go ahead and put numeric standards, caps on the streams, binding standards on the streams without doing rulemaking.
So what is it that you want us to write if we agree that there's been some due process denial to Fairfield County in the development of these limits? How do we write that, and who do we send it to, and what do we direct to be done?
We talked about that, Your Honor, and frankly, the only thing that's before this court is one entity's permit and one set of limits based on the TMDL, the phosphorus limits. So those limits are based on unpromulgated standards that should have gone through rulemaking. All this court needs to do is to remand the permit back to Ohio EPA with instructions to do the proper rulemaking that was required for those standards.
When you say proper rulemaking, where does that commence, and what does it look like?
It looks like any other rulemaking package, Your Honor. Ohio EPA submits the package to JCAR, does the technical review, the feasibility review, the economic reviews. The meaningful input is provided that isn't provided now. It's no different than any other rulemaking. And in fact, it's no different than what Ohio EPA does with all of its water quality standards, which in the revised code, Ohio EPA must do rulemaking for water quality standards.
And where in the code can I find that?
6111.041.
All right. And do they do it for other than water?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Do they rulemaking for other than water quality?
Yes, Your Honor, they do. They do. They do it for a whole host of standards in the wastewater program, in the drinking water program, and virtually every other program. When they set about to study a problem, whether it be an air problem, a landfill problem.
So what you're telling us is they've done rulemaking in all of the other areas. They just haven't done it in the discharge in this instance.
Right. And, Your Honor, what's going on here is Ohio EPA is circumventing the rulemaking process. Right. And that's
so
one of the reasons.
You've used your time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court. The court should hold that Ohio EPA's development of a proposed TMDL report to be submitted to US EPA for its review and approval is not a rulemaking required to go through Chapter 119 procedures for at least two reasons. First, adding Chapter 119 procedures on top of the existing process and procedures that are in place would be duplicative and it would be all burden and no benefit. And second, a proposed TMDL does not impose any legal obligations on members of the regulated community such as Fairfield County. And I'd like to begin first with the process and procedures that are already in place.
Will you say no, all burden, no benefit? Is that how you regard the whole process of rulemaking?
Not at all, Your Honor. But in this case, it would be duplicative process. It would be process that mirrors process that already exists. And to add an additional layer
In what way?
Well, Your Honor, when a TMDL report...
I think they're suggesting that before you submit this to the U.S. EPA, that you go through the rulemaking process here, JCAR and all of that, looking at what you think the expectations are from the federal EPA, what the parameters that they've set out, they're suggesting you go through the normal rulemaking process, get the rules approved, then submit them to the US EPA. They look at it and say, it looks like
Your Honor,
this meets what we expect.
Your Honor, first, there is...
Isn't that what they're asking?
I believe that is what they're asking, but what they're asking does not reflect the reality of what already occurs. And what already occurs is when a TMDL report is developed, it is subject to public notice and comment. And in this case, if you look at Exhibit 13, which is in the record...
But public notice and comment is not the same as having the legislature be able to say, or JCAR, an arm of the legislature, yes or no.
That's true, Your Honor. But JCAR and the arm of the legislature only speaks to rulemaking. And that goes to the second point I was going to make, which is this is not a rulemaking because what Ohio EPA does not impose any legal obligations. There are legal obligations that flow from the water quality standards, which are adopted pursuant to rule, and there are legal obligations that flow from the permit that a permittee receives, like Fairfield County.
Is that the same position that you took below?
Not exactly, Your Honor.
Can you explain what position you took below and how it's changed now?
Yes. Ohio EPA made two arguments below. They were backup arguments. The first argument was that US EPA's approval of a TMDL was binding in two respects, because a TMDL has both a high-level number, the loading capacity for a stream, and this is a broad number, and then that's the cake that Justice Lansinger is referring to, and then it had recommended discharge limits. That's the slices of the cake. And Ohio EPA took the position that the slices of the cake were binding. But as a backup argument, Ohio EPA said, even if those are not binding, here is all of the science, all of the data, all of the analysis that supports the limit that we gave to Fairfield County. And to show that the slice of the cake wasn't mechanically applied, the TMDL report recommended a 0.5 milligram per liter limit. Fairfield County received double that. The phosphorus limit contained in Fairfield County is actually double what is recommended by the TMDL report. And Ohio EPA defended at the de novo hearing, a week-long de novo hearing, where evidence was presented on both sides, the scientific evidence that it believed supported the limit. ERAC, in paragraph 84 of its decision, found that Ohio EPA had a valid factual foundation, and the 10th District also found that Ohio EPA had a valid factual foundation for the limit that it imposed.
But that goes to this specific permit. It
Yes.
doesn't go to whether there should have been notice and comment rulemaking at the time that the report was issued. So is it your position then mm-hmm. that all of the pieces of information that could have been challenged with respect to the report were in fact challenged with respect to this permit?
No, Your Honor, and for two reasons. One, because Fairfield County did not bring the challenge to all aspects of the report. I would point the court to paragraph 117 of the 10th District's decision, where they explicitly rely on the arguments Fairfield County made, saying that they weren't challenging the high-level loading capacity number. They were only challenging that slice of cake. And so the arguments that Ohio EPA would have made, the evidence that they would have presented had this other challenge been brought, is different. But beyond that, there is an opportunity for Fairfield County, if they wish, to challenge all aspects of the TMDL process, both the cake and the slice of cake. Because when Ohio EPA develops a TMDL report, it goes through notice and comment. There is public participation.
But not rulemaking. I mean, you're making that distinction. You keep saying notice and comment, but you're not saying notice and comment rulemaking.
Yes, absolutely, Your Honor. And that's at least for two reasons. One, because this is a bifurcated process. Because it would be a strange rule to have Ohio EPA go through and adopt a rule that says, well, these might be the standards, but it's contingent on whatever US EPA does. Because US EPA, their review is not a procedural rubber stamp review. It is Ohio EPA's experience has been that that is a significant review. US EPA often gets involved when it is submitted for public comment. So they're reviewing this TMDL report well before the 30-day time frame when it was submitted. And again, this is evidence that could have been presented at the de novo hearing if this challenge had ever been raised. But then what matters is US EPA's action. Because if US EPA goes through and reviews what Ohio EPA has submitted, they can either approve it or they can disapprove it and do their own process. They certainly have to do a notice and comment process, but that's because the notice and comment process that Ohio EPA has already done would no longer be valid. They would be starting from scratch.
But there's nothing about the US EPA approval that precludes Ohio EPA from promulgating these standards, these as rules. I mean, there's nothing that says you couldn't have gone through rulemaking, and US EPA would have approved them just the same.
Certainly, Your Honor. There is no reason that it couldn't be required, but our position is that there is no reason to require it. If the General Assembly wishes to require rulemaking, there is nothing in federal law that would stop the General Assembly from doing so.
Counsel, one of the things that you started with is there's two reasons not to do this. One, added to one, you know, 119 procedure would be duplicative, and you also said, I believe, that no legal duties or burden are placed on the communities as a result of this.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so if Fairfield decides to ignore this load limit, there's nothing the Ohio EPA is going to do. There will be no penalties. There will be no consequences. They will just ignore. Is that true?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, what's the no burden or duty?
Well, they are free to ignore what is in the TMDL report, either as proposed or as approved by US EPA. They must comply with the terms of their permit. And so the world for Fairfield County doesn't change the day before or the day after Ohio EPA proposes a TMDL report. The world doesn't change for Fairfield County the day before US EPA approved one or the day after. The world only changes when they receive a permit that says, this is the limit that you shall receive.
But the limit is coming from the US EPA. Without that rulemaking, and when you talk about the no need for rulemaking, first of all, do you dispute the comments in the brief that talk about other jurisdictions that have said, the other jurisdictions that have considered the TMDL saying that it is rulemaking? There are other courts that have already said, yes, this is rulemaking.
We don't dispute that some courts have said that. Notably, though, Idaho, which is one of the courts that did say that, that decision was legislatively overruled, and the Idaho legislature made clear that rulemaking in Idaho is not required for developing a TMDL.
But here in Ohio, if there is rulemaking, the issue of cost, benefit, resources is considered. So there is something that the rulemaking process would allow that is not currently being allowed. Wouldn't you agree?
I would not agree, Your Honor. I believe that questions about cost, about feasibility, those are the questions that can be raised as part of a permit appeal. And they were raised as a part of a permit appeal in this case, and that is one of the reasons that this case is being remanded, because ERAC concluded that the procedures that Ohio EPA thought adequately accounted for costs. The variance procedures that were in place by rule were not an adequate substitute for a review in the first instance. So all of those questions can be raised as part of a permit appeal. Fairfield County had the opportunity to challenge the cost of its permit limit, and it will have that opportunity in future ERAC proceedings. And that's why I would, again, go back to the only thing that a permittee has to comply with is their permit limit. The TMDL report is a scientific...
What happens if they don't?
If they don't comply with their permit limit, Your Honor, then they could certainly be subject to enforcement.
And what would that look like?
The Ohio EPA would first try to negotiate a resolution, and if failing
but
that...
But it's a lot of money every day.
Absolutely, Your Honor. But again, that is... You would only see enforcement after a party had the opportunity to appeal their limit.
Well,
and so there would be
you can't put on any new sewer taps or anything like that, shut down construction in the geographical area covered by the permit?
I don't believe that it would be, any relief would be specific to whatever permittee had violated their permit. And so to speculate about the sort of injunctive relief that might occur absent.
Well, doesn't the EPA do that from time to time? Just say,
well, I mean,
until you fix your plant, you can't run any new, you can't grant any new taps.
And that may be depending on the facts and depending on the circumstances. And another factual circumstance.
So getting back to my question, you're saying that there is no problem with this not being having the process of rulemaking and the ability for the end users or those that are the permittees, let's call them the permittees, or potential permittees to challenge the limits at the very inception of it's not a rule in your view, but the standard, the very inception of the standard, that they get to do a challenge to that standard's applicability to them when they go to get a permit. And they're saying, we'd really like to be in the room, you know, discussing this and giving our 2 cents at the get-go when it's presumably easier or there's different types of challenges that can be leveled and there's a different process in place, and that's the rulemaking process. Whereas it's a lot harder later on when these standards are adopted and become part of the governance, and now we've got a ceiling that we're bucking up against and trying to show why we should get a variance. And that's my understanding of this contest before us.
Well, and Your Honor, and our significant dispute is with their characterization of what happens at the front end, because the opportunity to be in the room is there. I would point
where
the
when is that there for them?
It is the Ohio EPA submitted this TMDL. They submit all TMDLs for notice and comment. They make changes.
But that notice and comment period, my understanding, kind of pales in comparison to what the process would be in a full-blown rulemaking process.
It is different, but Your Honor, not every action of the director, not everything Ohio EPA does is a rulemaking. And even there are things that can be challenged at ERAC as final orders that aren't rulemaking. And there is also an opportunity for judicial review at the beginning of the process. The challenges to US EPA's approval can and are frequently brought in federal district court under the provisions of the APA. And so this is a bifurcated process at the beginning. Ohio EPA does the legwork, they do the notice and comment, they develop the data, and US EPA takes the final action. And that's why...
Well, to me it seems like that's kind of a one-sided conversation between Ohio EPA and the US EPA. And the permittees, the end users, the people that are going to have the burden of receiving a permit and then dealing with the benefits, the feasibility, and the costs involved here are not meaningfully involved in it at that point. They would be, you know, in the rulemaking process, but they're excluded under this scenario that happened with this.
I would disagree, Your Honor. And again, I would point to Exhibit 13 in the record that has the response to comment document. And you can see that parties submitted comments and US EPA made changes. Fairfield County stipulated at the hearing that they did not participate in that process. Additionally,
does the notice and opportunity to be heard allow for the underlying scientific assumptions to be challenged, the modeling to be challenged, and all of the testimony that would be there to, you know, to support what the agency is doing to be challenged?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Yes, every part can be challenged in one court or another. The scientific analysis, the modeling, the data, all supporting US EPA's final approval, that can be challenged in federal court.
Wait a second. Why should we have to wait to get into federal court, or why should they have to wait to get into federal court when there's an opportunity to do all of that at the rulemaking stage?
Because, Your Honor, rulemaking is only required in two instances, either if the General Assembly has explicitly required it, or if it is creating new legal obligations.
And you don't see this as new legal obligations. A revision of the standards, and I believe your opposing counsel said that there were new sets of standards that never went through rulemaking, and you would disagree that these are new sets of standards?
I would disagree that there are new standards at all. Because in this case, there is nothing that no one has to comply with any requirements when Ohio EPA proposes a TMDL. They are not, if they were correct, then the 1.0 milligram per liter, the double limit that they have received, Ohio EPA couldn't have done that. And that's what, going back to my first point, which is the significant burdens attendant and the no benefit. Because Ohio EPA currently has great flexibility to adjust a permit limit. If they have to go through rulemaking, that flexibility, the flexibility that directly benefited Fairfield County in this case, would be lost. And so to require rulemaking would actually work to the detriment of members of the regulated community who currently can go to Ohio EPA, especially in light of the 10th District's decision, and can say, look, we think that this limit should be adjusted
for
this reason.
What input would a community have in development of a TMDL in rulemaking?
Your Honor, we don't believe that a community would have any greater input than they already have.
They had none here, didn't they?
I completely disagree, Your Honor. They had the input at the notice and comment stage. They could have brought a challenge in federal district court. That would be the same type of input that they would have under rulemaking. And so that's why one of the reasons we believe rulemaking is not required.
How many comments were received on the new phosphorus limits?
Well, Your Honor, the phosphorus limits are specific to this permit, and so I don't believe any comments about Fairfield County's phosphorus limits were in there. I couldn't tell you for sure, but I would say I believe it's Appendix E in Exhibit 13 of the record, and you could certainly review the extent and the scope of the notice and comment and what Ohio EPA did in response.
Thank you.
So for these reasons, thank you, Your Honor.
Counsel, you've used your time. You may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the court. I'll take the arguments in reverse order. No federal appeal would have been an option for Fairfield County. The case law is very clear on that. We cite the City of Arcadia and the Sierra Club federal cases saying, had our client tried to challenge the procedural approval, it would have been dismissed as unripe. We would have been relegated back to state court to get our remedies.
It would be dismissed as what?
It would have been dismissed as unripe and premature. We would have been relegated back to state court to our state court remedies. Second, I think you should look at Exhibit E, which is the comments on the TMDL. Based on the comments on the TMDL, Ohio EPA made not one single substantive change based on those comments. They made one typographical change and two wordsmithing clarifications.
Would Fairfield County have input in rulemaking on a TMDL?
Yes, Your Honor, they would not only as an interested party through their elected officials, you know, through their congressmen, through their state senators, whatever, through the JCAR process. Yes, absolutely. And through an appeal of those rules if they disagreed with the standards, the economic analysis, the fiscal analysis, the feasibility analysis, all of those things would have occurred but don't occur now.
Mr. Peterson says that once it's developed, the only impact is on the permit that's issued to to Fairfield County in this case. And there's no other effect, really. It's just the permit. And you have a full opportunity to appeal there.
Once the TMDL is finalized, it not only creates impacts on the permit holders, it creates allocations for the non-point sources in the watershed. It puts a permanent cap on future growth for anyone who's not only there now, but who may come to that stream in the future or may want to expand a business and discharge into that stream. So I respectfully disagree that the ramifications are far, far broader than just on Fairfield County. If this court wants to look at any case, look at the Condi v. Lindley case. It's exactly on all fours with what we've got going on in this particular case. Thank you, Your Honors.
Marshall, will you announce a recess, please?